Welcome to the Sunday morning broadcast of the Texas Fellowship of the Fishermen Ministry. If you would like to support this ministry and our programs, please go to our website at www.thefishermanministry.org and click the donation button on the site. Thank you for your support.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us at Grace Chapel out at Grace Ranch. Let us praise and worship the Lord.
If it weren't for you, Lord, I don't know where I'd be. I could feel the hours, but never feel the need. I would still be searching, looking for the truth. But I found the world to hear you, and every word I speak. So let my words be your words, and my actions too. So they'll find the new life I have found in you. Everything I do, let it be in your name, let it be for your glory, let it be for you. Everything say, let it be in your name, let it be to your glory, let it be for your sake, 'cause I wanna please you in everything I do. You fill up my empty heart, you give me strength so that I can go on. You're the reason that my life has changed. Everything I do, let it be in your name, let it be for your glory, let it be for you. Everything I say, let it be in your name, let it be to your glory, let it be for your sake, 'cause I wanna please you. Everything I do, let it be in your name, let it be for your glory, let it be for you. Everything I say, let it be in your name.
Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for everything. Most of all, thank you for allowing us another week to work on getting our lives right so that we may come to you, that we may be with you, and that we have a chance to learn more about you. And Lord, we ask that you open our hearts and our minds, that you give us the wisdom and the words. And we thank you, Lord, that we have this opportunity to come together for you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Love is amazing, steady and unchanging.
Lord, a chair.
Every move I make in you. You make me move, Jesus. Every breath I take, I breathe in you. Every step I take in you. You are my way, Jesus. Every breath I take, I breathe in you. Waves of mercy, waves of grace. Everywhere I look, I see your face. Your grace has captured me. Oh my God, it's grace. How can it be? La 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 la. Every breath I take, I breathe in you. Every step I take in you. You are my way, Jesus. Every breath I take, I breathe in you. Waves of mercy, waves of grace. Everywhere I look, I see your face. Your grace has captured me. Oh my God, it's grace. How can it be? La 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 la. Waves of mercy, waves of grace. Everywhere I look, I see your face. Your grace has captured me. Oh my God, this grace. How can it be?
It's amazing. It's amazing that no matter what we do, He gives us grace. He gives us His mercy. And if we look to Him, He gives us His strength, His leadership, and the ability for us to move ahead. and never fall behind. To give us the things we need, not necessarily the things we want, but what we need to be able to do His work and to serve Him. I'd like to go over to Ephesians 4. I must start at 11. The Lord didn't give us presidents. He didn't give us senators. He didn't give us congressmen. Because most of these people, if you look at what they say and what they do, they're two different things. He didn't give us mayors, judges. Well, He did give us judges when we requested them. But it was God's people that requested them. But He did give us a leadership within the body of Christ where we could have a place to go to receive the guidance and the knowledge that we need in Him. Ephesians 11. And He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. He gave us people that once we come to Christ, that we can turn to, that we can learn from, that we can learn to receive the goodness of Christ. We don't have to stand in the waste. We don't have to stand in the mire. But we have one advocate, and that's Jesus Christ, and those that He's placed over us, which will lead you if you want it. You have to want it. Jesus Christ is not going to chase you down. The Holy Spirit's not going to chase you down. The apostles, the prophets, none of them are going to chase you down. You might hear a word now or then that is directed towards you, or that you feel is directed towards you. And those words are to encourage you and to give you hope and to give you the strength you need so that you can stand. In this ministry, everyone is a minister to me. And they're a minister to each and every one of us, no matter who you are. We follow Jesus Christ. And as a body, I would love to say that we constantly are in line with His Word. But there are times when all of us can fall short. But there is grace and there is mercy. And to receive it, all we have to do is to ask for it.
Lord, I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up and make me whole. Lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up and make me whole.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. I was going to start in Mark 11. Maybe it's 12. Let me find it. 12. You know, Jesus went, as we all know, He ministered to the common folk, and then you always had the scribes, the Pharisees, the elders, the chief priests that were trying to trip him up all the time. Sadducees, Pharisees, the whole group of them. And so this has been the case in Mark 11 and 12. And there's one scribe who was listening. And starting in verse 28, it says, "And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, 'Which is the first commandment of all?' And Jesus answered him, 'The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this: Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these.'" This is actually a quote from Deuteronomy. And of course, back in Deuteronomy, Moses ministered to a people to whom the law was given. And it is, let me find it here. It's always nice to know where you're going. But I wrote it down, I think. Yes, Deuteronomy 6:4. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shalt be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shall shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. I'm not going to go any further. But, you know, it's interesting when you think about that, that we have to love them with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul, and with all our strength. That this is, it is something we have to fight for and choose. I mean, we all say we love God, but the commandment is to love him with all that. And I read down through Deuteronomy a little, because I have found in my walk that the only way to do it, especially when you're in a place of need, a place of learning, a place of chastening, a place of struggle, is to bind them and not let yourself go anywhere else. It's a commandment to love him with everything you have. Not a commandment to say the scripture, but to do the scripture. He is there. He is instant. He is able. He takes a people with nothing to offer and glorifies himself through them. We don't come with any righteousness. There is nothing about us. The Word of God says that our ways aren't his ways, that our thoughts aren't his thoughts. Do we believe these things? Because to learn his ways and his thoughts means that we have to do this first commandment. It has to be what is our choice. And we do it by faith because he is faithful. He is faithful to his word. And if we walk in accordance with his word, we partake of his faithfulness. It comes to pass. David, Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. That doesn't mean that we're always in plenty and cushy and joy environment. It means that he actually will take a person like you and a person like me and a person, any person, which we prove, and he will give us everything we need. He will be there when we need him to strengthen us. He will lift us out of the mire, as Bob gave testimony to. He will guide us. That's what it says. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. There is no higher calling in all of creation than being led in paths of righteousness for Jesus' sake. There's none. And yet we find ourselves getting all distracted and all hung up and all sure that our ways are the ones to follow. And Bob read Ephesians because the failure of those who Moses ministered to was their lack of obedience. It really just came down to that. God gave him Moses. They didn't hear him. Now, I get that a lot of things we have to hear are uncomfortable. Uncomfortable not only because maybe they shone a light in us, but uncomfortable because it's not what we want. Jesus is Lord, and he is the Lord of our lives. But that requires for us to die to ourselves, to take up our cross, and follow him. It requires of us to trust him. We read that scripture. Bodhi has it highlighted. Proverbs 3, he's got the chapter, I think, highlighted. starts out my son. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. I won't say do we do it. I hope we are choosing to do it. I know we also don't do it. I don't have to ask. I know we don't. God is worthy of our trust. Every one of us knows that to some extent. Every one of us can know it more and more and deeper if we will choose to do it. That's the only way. And you look at the testimony that the Word of God has given us. Paul in Hebrews had a whole chapter, chapter 11, that lifted up people who did just that. And then what does he start with 12 for, with? Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, and the sin that doth so easily beset us, and run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, and I can't quote it, but you know, he hung on a cross for us. He actually is the only wise God. We don't compare. I don't care how wise you think you are, how smart, how capable, how right. There's one wise. And his name is Jesus. It's not Robin. It's not whatever your name is. Doesn't matter. We gotta choose to humble ourselves. Bob read about, he gave us some prophets, some apostles and some prophets, some evangelists and pastors and teachers. And yes, they're there for us to go to. But you see, it goes beyond whether we need to go to or want to go to. If we want that which is of God, if we want to learn his ways, if we want to walk in paths of righteousness for his name's sake, we have to go. We have to hear. In James it says to receive with meekness the engrafted word that is able to save us. Will we come? Will we hear? Will we trust God and get over what we think and our emotions and our wants and our desires and believe that a God in heaven loves us individually, knows us. His desire is to bless us, but his desire also is to be glorified in and through us, that others can come to know him. It's not about us, it's about him. But his love, what is love? Love is caring about the other person and what is right and good for them, what is needful for them. God knows our needs. God loves us with that love. We got to learn to trust him. We got to learn to bind these things and not give place and go other places. We got to be willing to hear what is spoken to us by Davy or Steve or a discipler or, as Bob said, one another. And get over what we think, because our thoughts are not his thoughts. Get over what we've known, because our ways are not his ways. Be willing to let the Lord show us why those words were spoken to us, what he is addressing, what he wants to cleanse us from, what he wants to separate us from that is to our detriment, not to our benefit. I don't care what you think. I don't care what your experience is. I don't care why you're the way you are. I don't care if you think you're strong. I don't care if you think you're weak. I don't care. Because there is one who is true that wants to make a difference in you and change you so that you're right and you're whole. that you can serve him, that you can minister out of that love, which is the second commandment. Knowing your own frailty, but loving the other who is frail just like you. You can't do that if you don't do the first. You can't do it. You can't do it if you're not willing to hear the truth and repent. I know from personal experience that there's times, and I know the Word of God. I'm not saying I know everything. I certainly don't. But I have experience. I have knowledge. I have a testimony. I know the faithfulness of God. And in the very thing that I have walked in and stood in, I can fall and not be able to get myself out. But I also know the moment I call upon him, God answers me. He is there to help in time of need. I don't want. Do you want? Why? We got to trust him. We're in a hard place out here in a way. The environment can be hard. Living amongst each other can be hard. Just truth. But in all these things, we have a God that is able, a God who is faithful, a God who is there, a God who wants to teach us. And it is only when we come into that obedience that we can be knit together, as Ephesians, where chapter 4, that you read, Bob. It ain't going to happen because we're somewhat. It's going to happen because we come under obedience to he who is somewhat. Let that be the mark that we go after. Let us minister the truth one to another in love. Let us become that body that we might go out and spread the gospel. Reap a harvest. Amen.
Through a troop and leap over a wall, hallelujah, hallelujah. I will run through a troop and leap over a wall, hallelujah, hallelujah. Now there is no condemnation. Jesus is the rock of my salvation. I will run through a troop and leap over a wall, hallelujah. Hallelujah, I will run through a troop and leap over a wall, hallelujah, hallelujah, I will run through a troop and leap over a wall, hallelujah, hallelujah. Now there is no condemnation, Jesus is a rock of my salvation. I will run through a troop and leap over a wall.
Praise the Lord. That's right. That's a fun song. I know the kids like it. I kind of like hopping around myself. But Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, the life. There's only one. There's one way. Love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. Not just a little bit. Not just on Sundays or special occasions. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. See, there's one faith. all of us need to be there to form that perfect man. Like Joshua, and bringing that group into the promised land, they were all of one mind. All in that body, moving as one. See, when we're able to come together in the fullness of that body, that is when we will see some stuff happen. I want to read over. This is what came to mind. Let me find it for you. Psalms, I'm going to start Psalms 34. I'm going to start at verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me. He delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. In order to make the choices that we have, we go through a particular thought process. We go shopping at Costco, but really it's the same at any grocery store you go to. You're looking for some snacks. You got a lot of different options. There's a whole bunch of different stuff on the shelf. You got the name brand, you got the off brand, you got the expensive, you got the cheap, you got this flavor, you got that flavor, different sizes, different packages, different colors. I mean, you name it. There's a lot of different choices. A lot of them. You remember back, I think it was the 80s, maybe it was the early 90s, the big Coke versus Pepsi war, and they had, you know, the blind taste test, and you know, they had these commercials. I think they were doing it in malls and things where, you know, taste it. See which one you like. All right. Well, when we were at the store, we're looking at these different options, and at Costco, on occasion, you get to taste it. You know, they have a little sample there. So it makes it a little bit easier. You can compare your prices and sort of make a decision and take a taste and see if you like it. So that's helpful. Now, with the Lord, well, let me finish that thought about the cookies or the snacks. It doesn't really matter which one you choose. But when you're going to talk about your salvation, there are a bunch of stuff, a bunch of different things on that shelf to pick from. But there's only one real thing. There's only one true thing. There's only one good thing, and that's Jesus Christ. Each of us, and I'm pretty sure each of us in this room and most of us listening online, and boy, if you're in America, it's hard to think that you haven't heard from somebody that Jesus is good. It's hard to think that you haven't heard of the name of Jesus. I understand that there's some people that might not know that Jesus is a name that you can trust, one that you can count on, one that you can hang your soul on. A lot of people might not know that Jesus Christ died for them so that they might have a chance to spend eternity with him in heaven. How are they going to know unless a people make that choice, unless a people come together of that one mind and show them? I'm not sure. I know for me, I was walking around in this world for 30 plus years, and you know, Steve has a slightly different way of saying it, but I'm in agreement with him. I didn't think that Jesus Christ was really anything to speak of from what I could see, you know, in the natural with Christians. And there wasn't any difference between them or this group, that group, the other group. But gosh, it wasn't until I came in contact with the power of God, with a man that believed these things that we speak about, until I saw it with my own eyes, until I put it to the test. Until I put it to the test. When you taste and see that the Lord is good for yourself, when you do that, now you're starting to have your own experience, your own relationship with Jesus. You're starting to see that this stuff is true. But until you try, you won't know. And if you've been trying, you don't seem to be getting any traction. Something ain't right. Something doesn't seem right. Get with your minister. Get with your discipler. Talk about it. Get down on your knees in your closet. Ask him to show you. Rededicate your life to Christ. It's all right to start again. It's encouraged. His mercies are renewed every day. He knows you. He knows me. He's not surprised when we fail, but he is pleased when we choose him. He is pleased when we decide his way. He is pleased when we choose life. Once you make that choice, it's kind of like when buying the snacks. You find that snack, you make the choice, you pull it off the shelf, you pay for it, you bring it home. Now you have another decision to make. Do you eat all of that tasty snack for yourself? Or do you share it with others? Do you offer it to them to partake? Do you show them and ask them if they would like to try it? Now that's the choice that's before each and every one of us. What are you going to do?
Good morning. Let's see if I can... spend a little time here with you. Let's talk, do something different. But just leave it like that. That's fine. Praise God. You know, a lot of stuff was said here today. I want to go to Hebrews 13. If I can find it. Never have been able to do a one-handed thing. Hebrews 13, verse 7. Remember them that have a rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Now see, that's one of those things people really like. Remember them that have their rule over you. Who are these people? Who are these people? Those that have spoken unto you the word of God. But more clearly and more simply, what Bob was reading earlier, and God gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the edifying of the body of Christ, no, the work of the ministry, and the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, if I had a brain tumor, I would go, let me change that. If the average person had a brain tumor, they would normally go to a doctor and they would request the best brain surgeon they could find to operate. Amen? They wouldn't go to a plumber. I mean, some people say it's same thing, I mean, you know. But it's not. See, the apostles and prophets are given to us by God to perfect us. It's not the job of the evangelist to perfect you. It's not the job of the pastor or the teacher to perfect you. Why is this? Because as it says over in chapter 3, 1 through 5, it makes it very clear. That's Ephesians 1 through 5, 3, 1 through 5. It makes it clear that the mysteries of Christ are only given to the apostles and prophets. So they're the ones that are qualified to perfect you. But these mysteries can be given to the evangelists and the pastors and the teachers, who can teach you these things. But in all things, it's Christ. Amen? All right. Now, you can read verse 13 on your own over in Hebrews. I think it's 17. We hear all the time to love God with all your heart, all your mind and soul strength. And that's so easily said and so misunderstood. The word love there is agape. It simply means to prefer. You have to prefer God over yourself and everyone else in your life. And it takes all your mind and all your heart and all your strength. It takes everything you have sometimes to prefer God and His way over yourself or your way or your children's or your husband's or your wife's or your friends or somebody else. To put it into practice, over these many years that I've seen. I've known a few people, just a few, that preferred my ways and what I said over their own. Only known a few. And when these people did this, it put me in a very peculiar spot. Because when somebody does that, you have to think. You have to think. You have to be in that spot for them. And the only way you can learn to be in that spot for them is by learning to love God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, your strength. Notice it leaves out body. I remember years and years ago, I was sitting in here and a preacher preached and thought it was great preaching and really good. Got to love God with all your heart, soul, strength, mind, and body. Sounded good to me. Until I got to read it. The body's not there. Why? Because the body's under a curse. It is impossible to love God with a cursed thing. Now, if your body is under a curse, then what is it you've got to rule out when it comes to loving God? Feelings. You cannot let feelings enter in when it comes to loving God, because feelings are of the flesh. Now, does that mean if you're praising God and tears come to your heart and you weep with joy, that that's to be rejected? No. Receive it. Enjoy it. Praise God for it. Amen. But you cannot use feelings to judge whether or not you're loving God. Wives, you love your husbands. Same thing. If my wife loved me with her feelings, I imagine there'd be times I'd have the distinct impression on the side of my head of Old Hickory cast iron skillet. You understand what I'm saying? Sometimes your feelings work against you, if not all the time. So you've got to learn how to love God with all your heart, mind, soul, or strength. You got to learn. And it means to prefer Him above everything. In other words, every decision you make, and of course I'm perfect at this. Not really. But every decision you make ought to start with, will this please God? This is what God would want me to do. Every decision. And you know that not only goes into talking, it goes into answering. Somebody comes up to you and says something to you, you have something to say back. Is it right or is it wrong? If you wait and seek the Lord on it first, you'll usually get it right. But if you go by your feelings, you'll usually get it wrong. Amen? Especially if it's something you don't agree with. Now, it came up today about The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I know I've taught and used the example of children in the past. They learn real quick. You go in a store and they see something. Mommy, I want this. Mommy, I want this. Mommy says, you don't need it. They learn real quick. Oh, Mommy, I need this. They think by changing the word from want to need, oh, well, okay, you can have it then. Works. It doesn't always work that way, does it, kids? Sometimes you say, I need a thing or I want a thing, and you don't get it, right? That's the same with us. Sometimes we do get it. But in this sentence, in this verse, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. It means you'll not be without everything you need. There's a scripture in the Old Testament that says, My people will never lack for bread. I don't remember exactly where it is. Somebody might look it up and find it. But my people shall never lack for bread. And I drive down in El Paso sometimes, and I see these guys with their signs up, begging for food or money. And they're trying to use God as a pull. Look, I believe in God. I'm a Christian. Help me. And I wonder, who do I believe? Do I believe the word of God that says my people shall never want for bread? Or do I believe the person that says I'm of God and I want bread because I don't have any? Now see, this is where feelings and emotions really come into play. And some of these guys are pretty good actors. I've watched them. I think the most pronounced one I ever saw one time was at a truck stop. And he'd look and he'd look and he'd pray. He look, he pray. He had all kinds of contortions. Try to get people to feel sorry for him. I got news for you. I have never met a Christian in my life that I feel sorry for. Amen? Think of that. I have never met a Christian in my life that I feel sorry for. You want to know who I feel sorry for? Those who don't know Christ. That's who I feel sorry for. And if you are a believer in Christ and you do have needs of food or raiment or a house over your roof over your head, then maybe what you ought to do is sit down and ask your Heavenly Father, what am I doing wrong? What man of you, having a child ask for a loaf of bread, would give him a rock? Or an egg would give him an adder? If you men who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, think how much more your Heavenly Father will give you the Holy Ghost to them that ask. And I'm going to give you a little clue here. When it talks about loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength. The strength, it comes from the Holy Ghost. Strength is power. And the power of the Holy Ghost is dunamis power. It is self-creating, self-perpetuating. It continues on and on and on and on and on and on and can never be depleted if you allow him to work in your life. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I shall not go hungry. I shall not be naked. I shall not have nothing, no roof over my head. I will always have a place. I will always have food. In all the years since 1972 that I've been a minister, I have never ever been without a home except one short period. And even then I had a roof over my head and I had food. I just didn't like it that much. And I asked the Lord, what am I doing wrong here? And he told me. I said, okay. He fixed it. And boom, next day I was in a whole different world. You got to be willing to listen to the Lord. You got to be willing to realize God's not the blame here. God is not the fault when things go wrong. You may not be the fault. Chances are you are. But you may not be. You know what I'm saying? All right, one other thing that comes to mind. When we are going through our daily lives and we're seeking to serve God, we have to understand that there is only one faith. Now, one faith is very simple. Jesus Christ died to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Not was, am. Jesus Christ died to save you sinners. Everyone listening to me right now is a sinner. You can tell me all you want to. Well, I was a sinner, but now I'm not. You are a liar. And the truth is not in you. You are a sinner, and I am a sinner, and that's how we can love one another, is to realize it's by Jesus Christ and Him alone that we can be saved. Your sin may not be the same as mine. Mine may not be the same as yours. Yours may seem greater than mine to you, and mine may seem greater to me than yours. Or, again, yours could seem greater to me than mine. But it really doesn't matter. Because sin is sin. And to be delivered of that sin, we must die. We can be delivered of the effects of the sin now. But the sin lives in the flesh, and one day the flesh will die. It is said, it is accounted to man once to die, and then the judgment. It is also said, let's see, how does that go? The wages of sin are death. So, I had an 80-year-old Pentecostal preacher tell me one day when I was talking to him that he wasn't a sinner. And I said, well, sir, praise God, I want to shake your hand. He said, why? I said, because I've never met a man that's not going to die. You're going to live forever. You're never going to die. And he said to me, well, of course I'm going to die. Well, then you're a sinner. Because the wages of sin are death. If you didn't have sin, there'd be no wages, would there? See, you get paid to sin. Did you know that? You get paid to sin. It's called death. I don't know about you, but I'm not really interested in that kind of money. I can think of better ways to receive payment, couldn't you? How about eternal life? How about eternal life which comes through Jesus Christ? Because he paid the price for us. And that's the faith, to believe that he took it all, past, present, future, and that by us preferring him over ourselves and everything else, we will stand with him in glory. Amen. Amen.
You're the solid rock on which I stand.
Solid rock on which I stand.
You are the Christ, the risen Lamb.
You are the Christ, the risen Lamb.
Lamb who sits upon the throne.
Lamb who sits upon the throne.
Tender mercies for his own.
Tender mercies for his own.
I praise you now, O risen Lamb.
Praise you now, O risen Lamb.
You're the solid rock on which I stand.
Solid rock.
You're the solid rock on which I stand. Day after day I will praise your name. In everything I will be glad. For by your grace you save me. And on your every word I will depend. You're the solid rock on which I stand.
Solid rock on which I stand.
You are the Christ, the risen Lamb.
All the Christ, the risen Lamb.
Lamb who sits upon the throne.
Lamb who sits upon the throne.
Tender mercies for his own.
Tender mercies for his own.
I praise you now, O risen Lamb.
Praise you now, O risen Lamb.
You're the solid rock on which I stand.
Solid rock.
You're the solid rock on which I stand. Day after day I will praise your name. In everything I will be glad. For by your grace you save me. And on your every word I will depend. You're the solid rock on which I stand.
Solid rock on which I stand.
You are the Christ, the risen Lamb.
All the Christ, the risen Lamb.
Lamb who sits upon the throne.
Lamb who sits upon the throne.
Tender mercies for his own.
Tender mercies for his own.
I praise you now, O risen Lamb.
Praise you now, O risen Lamb.
You're the solid rock on which I stand.
Solid rock.
You're the solid rock on which I stand. Praise the Lord. Give the Lord a cheer.
I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. it's my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you. I'm forgiven because you are forsaken. I'm accepted. You are condemned. I'm alive and well, your spirit isn't in me, because you died and rose again. Isn't love, how can it be? You might give a die for me. Isn't
cheer. Lord Jesus, we thank you. We love you. And we are blessed by you. And Lord, we thank you as you stay with those who are on the road, with those that are in other states in the ministry. and to be with us and being with us as we leave here and go out into the world. And we thank you, Lord. And we love you. And we praise your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Was grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious thing that grace appeared the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, I've been set free. Like a flood, his mercy rains, unending love, amazing grace. Many dangers, toils, and snares I have already come. This grace that brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. So we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun. When we first begun, my chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, his mercy reigns, unending love. Amazing grace. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, his mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace. Grace.
Praise the Lord.
You are listening to the Eagle Radio Network. Our programming is listener driven. If you'd like to help support the Eagle Radio Network to be able to continue providing programming, please click the donate button located on our site at www.eagle-radio.com. Thank you for your support.